And welcome to our service for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. The sentence for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. Almighty God, you have given your only Son to be for us both a sacrifice for sin and also an example of godly life. Give us grace that we may always thankfully receive the benefits of his sacrifice and also daily endeavour to follow the blessed steps of his most holy life, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 45. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither ploughing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house and ruler over the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. From the Psalter this morning, Psalm 133. Behold how good and how lovely it is when families live together in unity. It is fragrant as oil upon the head that runs down over the beard, fragrant as oil upon the beard of Aaron that ran down over the collar of his robe. It is like a dew of Hermon, like the dew that falls upon the hill of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded his blessing, which is life forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our second reading comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11. I ask them, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he didn't answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God, we thank you for your holy word. May it be a lantern to our feet, a light to our paths, and strength to our lives. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Gospel reading today continues the story of Jesus' life and ministry as described by St. Matthew. And today we find an extraordinary exchange between Jesus and a Canaanite person. And to get to the bottom of what is going on in this passage, I'm going to start by looking at it a little bit like the way a Bible study would, considering it verse by verse, before then looking at the text that follows this exchange and seeing what it might mean for us more broadly. So let's jump in at the beginning with verse 21. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. It's worth noting that Tyre and Sidon were predominantly Gentile territory. And this is odd, because for in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is presented as being solely concerned with the house of Israel, the Jews, in other words. He is their saviour, exclusive to them. His mission is not to the Gentiles at all. Why then would Jesus be travelling to this district? Furthermore, the inhabitants of Tyre were described by the Jewish historian Josephus as, quote, notoriously our bitterest enemies. There was, too, a history of economic and political oppression of Jews by the cities of Tyre and Sidon. The Galilean backcountry and rural regions around Tyre, where Jewish farmers could be found, produced most of the food for the city dwellers. But those Gentile city dwellers bought up and stored so much of the harvest for themselves each season and during times of crisis that the country folk, who were mainly Jewish, did not have enough to eat. To make matters even more complicated, the region of Tyre and Sidon posed a political threat to the Jewish people, because the cities pursued a policy of territorial expansion to the south and to the east, where Israel was, which had at times in their history proved successful. So Jews did not, would not, travel through this region unless absolutely necessary. Verse 22, just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." Immediately we discover that this woman is a different person. She is othered by the description. She is a Canaanite. She is also a woman, different, of course, from Jesus, a woman of race that the Jews did not typically mix with either. And her approach to Jesus is not subtle at all. She comes out shouting after him, yelling and screaming, so much so that we find in verse 23 that the disciples are having such a hard time with this person that they recommend to Jesus that he send her away because they are being embarrassed by her. Lacking subtlety is one thing, but a Gentile, a Canaanite no less, addressing Jesus by his full title, Lord, Son of David, shows, however, that she recognizes in Jesus the Lord and Savior of all people, not just the Jews. Verse 23, but he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." I have this marvelous image of this woman heading out after Jesus and his disciples, arms flailing, shouting at the top of her voice, and the disciples cringing and doing their best to bat her away. And what does Jesus do? Nothing. He ignores her. It is the height of rudeness. If you've ever been in a conversation with someone who ignores you, you'll know how rude that just is. All the disciples, as I said, are embarrassed. They're doing the whole sort of head down, stop her Jesus from looking at us kind of thing. And we're not very cool with this sort of crazy person chasing after us. But if the disciples were concerned about their image, how this might look to those looking on, then the situation is about to get worse. Verse 24, Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This person gets down on her knees. It's a very odd thing to see, someone begging. Have you seen someone do this in public? They're either about to ask to marry someone, which usually causes a stir, or they're probably about 2.5 years old and having a meltdown in the supermarket. Jesus says to her what the disciples would probably have approved of. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." There she is begging, and he says, in other words, "I'm sorry, but I am not interested. I am on a mission that does not include the likes of you." Jesus is giving her the cold shoulder. And this is an image of Jesus, our Lord, that we are not familiar with at all. Verses 25, 26, and 27. "But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' He answered, 'It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.'" Her request of Jesus is very simple. "Lord, help me." She is kneeling before Jesus. As I said, she is begging him. The hardest thing to do is to beg. And this is now a plea from the heart. There is no explanation or embellishment, no reason, just a cry from her heart. "Jesus, help me." And he answers in what I would consider to be some pretty offensive words. "The children's food to the dogs." What is Jesus calling this woman? Is he describing her as a dog? What Jesus is essentially doing is repeating what he had said before, "I am only sent to the house of Israel." In other words, the food, that is his mission, is to the Jewish people, and his miracles, as that is what she is asking of him, are reserved for his target audience, not this woman of Canaanite origin. The Jews are the children denied of his ministry if he feeds the Canaanites, the so-called dogs. This woman, however, would have definitely made the school debating team. "Not good enough, Lord, thank you very much." Immediately countering, she replies, "Whatever. At least at my place, the food that was destined for the table still gets to those who run around it, to the dogs. And anybody who has a family knows there's an intimate connection between dogs running around a table and children running around a table. What she is saying is that Jesus must not think of limiting his miracles, limiting his power, perhaps even limiting his love to those who are his invited audience only. The Son of God, she is saying, is sent to everyone, not just the house of Israel. The food destined for one race is to be food for all races and the sustenance of all people. Verse 28, then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. How different is Jesus' response now to the woman than when they first met? Upon her first plea, he totally ignored her. Upon her second plea, he replied curtly and rudely. Upon her third, he replies directly to her, we notice. The text says, then Jesus answered her. He replies with a tone of wonder in his voice. Woman, great is your faith. There is a tone of admiration there. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter, the source of this great angst and desperation, is healed instantly. It is, I am sure you would agree, an extraordinary exchange between Jesus and this Canaanite person. And it begs a whole series of questions. Has Jesus changed in the course of this conversation? Can Jesus change? Did Jesus change his mind about to whom he was ministering as the result of this one encounter with an argumentative Canaanite woman? And in so many ways, the only way we can answer these questions is to look at what happens next. Immediately following this passage from the following text, from verse 29, we hear this. After Jesus had left that place, he passed along the Sea of Galilee and he went up the mountain where he sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the mute, and many others. They put them at his feet and he cured them, so that the crowd was amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. The God of Israel is being praised in a part of the world where many had never heard of the God of Israel, nor met God's Son. There is something going on here about location and revelation. Immediately following that text, the text that we have just heard, we have what is called the feeding of the 4,000, not the 5,000 of 2 weeks ago. This is another miraculous feeding again, the feeding event, I'm sorry. And this is what we hear. The text continues. And if you have your Bible in front of you, please continue. Jesus said, "I have compassion for the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way." Let's think about that in comparison to the exchange that Jesus has with a Canaanite woman. This is very different. This is pretty different, Jesus, to the one that first ignored, then derided, and then finally accepted the words of a stranger, this Canaanite woman. We read that Jesus then orders this large crowd to sit down and, quote, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and after giving thanks, he broke them and he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all of them ate and were filled. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And those who had eaten were 4,000 men, besides women and children. It seems that the Jesus who is intent upon only one target for his feeding, for his miracles, is now intent upon a much larger audience. Did the Canaanite woman change him that much? We shall never know, but what we do know is that in the Gospel of Matthew, at least, the person of Jesus is depicted as one who has the capacity to be challenged, to be confronted, and maybe even to change. The aloofness and disinterest, toward Gentiles that the Canaanite woman experienced has now warmed to compassion and active concern evident in Jesus' feeding of the 4,000 besides women and children. Whereas we hear that he didn't answer her a single word, now he expresses words of compassion for all those who are gathered before him. Whereas the disciples wanted Jesus to send that woman away, Jesus does not want to send the crowds away hungry. Whereas he initially denied bread to the dogs, here he feeds the 4,000 Gentiles with bread and with fish. Whereas Jesus intended that only the children be satisfied, now we hear the multitude of Gentiles, quote, are satisfied at this miraculous feeding. Whereas there would not be bread for the children if it were thrown to the dogs, Jesus multiplies it. So there is now so much that 7 baskets full of leftovers remain after the feeding. If nothing else, we learn this morning that Jesus does have the propensity for change. We learn that in Jesus there is an extraordinary ability to readily adapt to the needs of those whom he finds himself amongst. He responds to his people. We, as his followers, need do so as well. One message that I think we need to hear from this passage, we as Christians and we as a church need to hear, is this. We are to be people who can be confronted to change for the betterment for all of God's people. To be a Christian and a church that can meet change, which is all around us right now, needless to say, with that same generosity and that hospitality and that willingness that Jesus displays here in this exchange in St. Matthew's Gospel. But most of all, and I'll end here, we are to be followers of Jesus, who in all things loved God's people beyond their race and beyond their gender, and always loved, eventually, the different and the strange. And he welcomed them with us, born on the other side of the world, millennia later, into that one and the same marvelous kingdom of God. Amen.
If you know the Nicene Creed, why not join me in saying the Nicene Creed? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the world and the church. Some of the prayers this morning come from common worship from the Church of England. As we continue to encourage each other through this pandemic and call on God's help, let us pray. Keep us, good Lord, under the shadow of your mercy. Sustain and support the anxious. Be with those who care for the sick, and lift up all who are brought low, that we might find comfort, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Gracious God, we pray for peace, justice, and reconciliation throughout the world. We pray for the honouring of human rights and for the relief of the oppressed. We pray especially for the people of Lebanon, that they may know some political and social stability before long. We give thanks for all that is gracious in the lives of men, women, and children. We pray for Jeff, our primate, Philip, our archbishop, Genevieve, our regional bishop, and for the life of the St. John's Parish. We give thanks for the gift of your word and the fellowship of your people. We pray for leaders throughout the world, and particularly the leaders of this nation. We pray for our Premier, Daniel Andrews, who continues to lead Victoria through this pandemic, and for all who carry great responsibilities in these unprecedented times. We give thanks for medics who work with the sick and who place themselves at risk. We pray for the young and the elderly, for families and all who are alone. May they know your presence and comfort. We pray for those who are in need, for the sick, the sorrowful and bereaved. We pray for all who bring comfort, care and healing. We give thanks for human love and friendship, and for those who reach out to others. Let us commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. We give you thanks for your servants in every age. Grant that we, with those who have died recently, and all your saints, may be brought to a joyful resurrection and the fulfilment of your kingdom. We make these prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and upon those whom you love this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.